Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It is September 27th, 2022. I'm Trey Crowder. That's Mark Agee. What's up, Mark?
What's up, Trey? First of all, I want to send thoughts and prayers to the people of Florida and the Gulf Coast right now because Hurricane Ian is bearing down on them. Last I saw, 2.5 million people have been told to evacuate. My wife's family's hunkering down in Central Florida with canned goods and shit. You got your, you know, your hurricane parties going on. So hope everybody stays safe and dry, and trees don't fall over in your cars and shit. So there.
Well, with any luck, this hurricane will perform as poorly as the Miami hurricanes have been this year, and everybody makes it out okay. Because yeah, Miami hurricanes couldn't hurt fly. So hopefully Ian keeps that up. Yeah. All the best to everybody.
Yeah, let's hope the anthropomorphized weather football team is a forbearinger of mm-hmm. – I'll use that word wrong. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Fun update. A story we talked about over a year ago during all the Reddit GameStop stuff, which we're having fun with. If you remember, we talked about somebody dug into with some weird stock and trying to figure out what it was, and turned out – A single deli in New Jersey, like a deli that sells pastrami sandwiches, had somehow achieved $113 billion valuation on Wall Street.
Billion?
I think it was million. Say million. Maybe I misread it. I read it this morning. Anyway, way too much money for a deli. It turns out there were three guys who had used an offshore shell corporation to trade stuff back and forth to elevate its value, and they got arrested for securities fraud. Two of them did. One of them's fled to a non-extradition country with all his money. So good for him, I guess. You ever wonder how much the economy is real, Trey?
Oh, all the time, dude. Anytime I think about the stock market, that's kind of where my head goes, because it's just all numbers on spreadsheets and databases and shit, and it's all just speculative and seemingly made up and fantastical. It's wild how it all works, which I don't understand how it all works.
But I mean, in our dumb business, not that anyone else outside of it should care, but Discovery, you know, the organization that makes Property Brothers and shit and ghost hunting shows and 90 Day Fiance bought Time Warner on a credit card,
right?
And started selling it off for parts, and you're like, how's a smaller company buy a bigger company and then destroy it? And who's loaning the money to do that because they think it's sustainable or good business? And they immediately shelved the $90 million Batgirl movie that had Brendan Fraser and Michael Keaton in it, mm-hmm. and just deleted it. And who wrote the tax code this way? And why is it more profitable? All the talk about nobody wants to work anymore. How are corporations making money not doing stuff than doing stuff?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. It's all that shit's been getting worse, but yet they've all had record years in terms of, you know, revenues and profits and shit. And I don't know. It's horse shit.
Don't make no sense.
I'll tell you what isn't horse shit though. Producer Matt and his organization, Rural Organizing. We talk sometimes about how you and I just say stuff and we respect people who do stuff. Well, Producer Matt don't say nothing ever. Maybe because he's too busy out here doing shit. So his organization, giving them a shout out, they just had some pretty interesting polling numbers come in. This polling found that abortion rights is, in fact, a definitive issue amongst rural battleground voters. So they polled undecided rural voters in battleground states and found that a pro-choice position came out on top of the list of needle movers, as it were, more so than party identity or an endorsement from Farm Bureau or a labor organization. It seems abortion rights is pissing people off nationwide, country and city folk.
Yeah, something Matt said in the pre-show about how the Farm Bureau is taken as speaking for all of rural America is really funny, because Matt threw the number out, the 8% of rural people work in agriculture. I actually grew up on a farm, but most of my friends did not, even though we're all rural. But so it's it is interesting to me that the city slicker assumption is that we're all out here tilling the land and shit. And it's just not true. Big factory farms have put everybody out of business. Everybody works for somebody else now. But yeah, it sort of makes an intuitive kind of sense, because when you live rural, you're deprived of healthcare in a lot of ways. Like, you've got to drive 4 hours to get to a doctor. So the state passing laws to make it so you have to drive 4, 6, 8 hours to get to a doctor don't hit. And it's sort of, it makes sense, but the numbers are pretty astounding. Like, Farm Bureau endorsement moved, boosted Democrat support by 7%. These are surveys of mostly independent voters in Senate battleground states. They got a 7-point boost from a Farm Bureau endorsement, but a 9-point boost from a Planned Parenthood endorsement. Florida and Georgia, the boost Democratic candidate got from abortions rights group endorsement was even more pronounced, while Farm Bureau endorsement resulting in a 5-point bump, a Planned Parenthood endorsement yielded an 18-point boost.
So the other big takeaway I feel like from this, and I mean, Matt said this in pre-show, but you guys are not privy to Matt's angelic voice, so we just had to relay it to you. But I think it's a really good point. It's like, I think the conventional wisdom has been for like Democrat candidates when it comes to rural campaigning, the idea that, like, well, you know, just don't talk about abortion. Don't bring it up, because that'll torpedo you or whatever. And I've said shit like that before because I assumed it to be true. But this seems to imply that it is not. In fact, it could be the opposite. So, yeah.
Yeah. Progressive policies, people like them. The Democrat brand, people do not like. Think the Democrats would figure out that their problem is in abortion. The problem is the way you guys talk about it. Yeah. So anyway, run on your beliefs. Say what you mean. Clear language. And also, people don't like having their rights taken away. Don't hit for people. So yeah, just to be honest about what's happening and say it in clean, simple language and not some graduate school doublespeak, which is, you know, well, we go back to over and over here. Quick update before we get to the show. We talked last week, we talked about Santos and his stupid human trafficking scheme a lot. And it wasn't clear what had happened. We talked about how the private jet tracker showed that there was another flight booked from San Antonio, from the same company from San Antonio, the same place the other flights took off to go to Martha's Vineyard. It was supposed to go to an airport near Joe Biden's house. They were just going to drop another group of people off next to near Joe Biden's house to like troll. It wasn't clear what was going to happen. It apparently was supposed to happen, but once word went wide that the public was aware of it, DeSantis said he lied and said it was a fake out move to troll the media. Now, what happened was he had paid for this flight and then decided not to do it after the politics of it weren't clear anymore. And he spent the contractor is a DeSantis campaign donor and buddy. And he's apparently given him close to $1 million so far to move to not even the Delaware flight didn't move anybody. But he spent $1 million in Florida taxpayer money on this scheme so far. And so who's being owned here? It's not liberals. It's Florida taxpayers who could probably use that money for hurricane recovery at the moment or in the next few days or weeks.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised personally that they ended up not going through with it, because like we talked about last week, I feel like on their side of the aisle, the shit was like a home run. I thought they loved how much it owned us and everybody was all fired up about it and shit. So I'm kind of surprised, I'm pleasantly surprised, because I don't want them doing that shit anymore, obviously. But yeah, that's not how I would have thought it would turn out.
It is incredibly popular among the bloodthirsty Republican base. It's not popular among like regular people who just like don't want to see mean stuff on the news. So I think I saw it like 44% of people like this, but that's way too many, but it's still not a majority. So anyway, fuck him. But anyway, another news related to this, the scam, the woman who recruited these migrants to get on these flights, we talked about it a little bit last week, her name's Perla, or the name she gave them was Perla. An organization in Texas is offering a $5,000 reward for information leading to uncovering the identity of Perla. So that Bexar County Sheriff's investigation, I doubt it could touch DeSantis, but this woman could definitely be in a little bit of trouble. So yeah, fuck Perla, fuck DeSantis. I hope they get to the bottom of who she was and what she was up to and who she worked for. Because all these people are fucking sickos, and I do not like them, and I want bad things to happen to them. There.
Heard that. Ditto, buddy. All right. Let's get into it. With us, as always, is producer Matt. This is Weekly Skews. I want to remind you, of course, of two quick items. Number one, if you are vaccinated and want to see me live, go to treycrowder.com. Check out the upcoming tour dates. We're adding new ones as we speak, moving into 2023. Some of those are solo shows. Some of them that you see in red there are well-read shows with me, Corey, and Drew. Either way, I hope you'll come out. Go to treycrowder.com. get you tickets now. Number two, if you enjoy this program and would like to show your support, you can do so by signing up on Patreon. $5 a month gets you access to full-length bonus episodes like the one we're going to record later this week. We're having fun with it. We hope you will consider going to weeklyskews.com/more, or you can go on Patreon, look me up. Either way works. Sign up on there. Get some more skews in your life. Okay. As for the show tonight, the season finale of the big January 6th committee saga is around the corner. What's going to happen? More bombshells? Are they going to tie everything up with a nice little bow? Are they introducing new characters this late in the game? We're all going to find out soon enough, but Mark and I will talk about what we know already a little bit later. But first, of course, we will begin with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Tonight's DD, nuclear weapons for getting your papaw all riled up. You'll understand in a minute. Play the clip, Matt.
The N-word. You know what the N-word is? It's no. It's the nuclear word. He mentioned the N-word yesterday, the nuclear word, not supposed to be mentioned. The N-word. You know what the N-word
God.
Is? It's,
so... Dude,
that everybody like, oh, I know that me, Anthony, yeah, call me. I know this one. I got no. Literally start screaming out at it. Oh, God, it's so fucking funny and shitty, God, funny in a shitty way. But my God,
yeah, they just reveal who they are the
all the time.
No,
hell yeah, we know it. And later, like, damn, that was the easiest question on the quiz. I got that wrong. Jesus Christ, it's like, yeah. Who was it? That we showed a clip of them in front of a similar crowd saying, you know, people like to say that I'm the most racist politician in this country. And the whole crowd's like, hell yeah. Woo! He's like, well, I don't know why you're cheering because I'm not. They're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was another thing.
That was Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
Yeah.
At a even more racist version of CPAC hosted by American Firsters or whatever. Yeah. Trump apparently used that construction, talk about nuclear before a bunch of times. Somebody made a compilation of it. But yeah, he always brings up the N word and then turns to talking about nuclear. I guess he was talking about Ukraine or something. I don't know. It doesn't matter. He doesn't have any idea what he's talking about. He's been telling people that if he was president, he'd make gas prices lower, and then somehow that would have kept Russia from invading Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
Speaking of not making any sense, we got another one here for you. Honorable mention, America, for being great, but not great really anymore, but also is gay, maybe. It's hard to say, really, but we'll let Trump explain.
Great country. Remember, I was going to say, I was going to use an expression, we have to keep our country gay, but it's not, I mean, for some reason, it's just not great anymore.
If he ran on Keep America Gay, he might win 75% of the vote.
It's like we've talked about it before, but it is wild how it's like they, you know, they say they're the patriots, we're the ones who hate this country and shit like that, but they're also the ones who talk about how much the country fucking sucks all the time and how, you know, it needs to be better and everything. So it's an appropriate clip, I think.
Yeah, and they never. The trick is they never say what would actually make it better because
it wouldn't
make it better. It's like if you ask me what I'd do to make America better, I'd be like, oh, you know, single payer health care for starters. I would adjust the tax code so like smaller companies couldn't buy bigger companies and then ruin them. You know, so like that.
Yeah. And there's workers' rights and shit.
Yeah, and they're like just a vague sense of making it whiter is like all it takes.
Right.
And the first video we showed. They're like, they always stage whether they're paid or whether they're actual supporters or not. They always make sure that the three or four or five Black Trump supporters that are there
are behind them. Yeah.
And you watch looks like the guys wearing a veteran's hat, this older Black papaw is like stone faced during the first part and people woo the N word. And then when he was talking about nuclear, I was like, yep, I knew that's what he's talking about.
All right. Yeah. He's something else, man.
Yeah.
All right, our next honorable mention. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, like, it's he's not really much in the public eye right now. But like, I keep saying he's getting worse, but he is getting worse. He's retruthing on his social media platform, clear QAnon content. Like, I'm talking about like cartoons where he's wearing a superhero shirt with a giant Q on it. So
it's probably the first part that he's super into. But yeah, now he like if those people love him even more than normal MAGA types, then he's going to be full blown Q in no time. You know what I mean? It's just how he operates.
I was reading Will Sommer, who's the Daily Beast reporter who covers like right wing disinformation and personality cults and stuff like this, was talking about like what he's up to. And because this is not a way to electoral success, but if you have a justice system coming after you and you what you want is a bunch of pressure on the system from stochastic terrorism, then this is probably the way to go. If he's doing anything rational, it's making himself even more the messianic leader of a religious cult who will firebomb courthouses on his behalf.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's fucking frightening, but definitely makes sense. As far as that goes, our next honorable mention for Daily Dumbass, anyone who thought it was impossible for a veteran to steal valor, apparently. Ohio GOP House candidate J.R. Majewski has been caught misrepresenting his own military service. He's often bragged about being an Air Force combat veteran who was deployed to Afghanistan in the wake of the 9/11 terrorist attacks, talking about the tough conditions that they faced on the ground over there. However, documents obtained by the Associated Press through public records indicate that he never went to Afghanistan. Instead, he spent a lot of time, I think it was in Japan, and then a 6-month deployment in Qatar during the war in Afghanistan, where he loaded and unloaded planes. So slightly less glory, sounds like.
Yeah, this is really funny because you just be a veteran, man. People respect veterans.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you don't have to fucking do that. Like he did serve. People respect that as they should. Yeah. Just go with that. Don't make yourself out to be fucking Sergeant York or something if you didn't do it, especially in this day and age. But, you know.
Yeah. And it's also he was in the Air Force, which is the branch that not saying they don't see a lot of hand to hand combat in the Air Force. Mm-hmm. So it's not even clear what he's in. But yeah, the specifics of this are hilarious because he keeps telling this story about the tough conditions in Afghanistan, saying the like lack of running water made him go 40 days without a shower in Afghanistan. But the thing is, the military, if you spend more than 30 days, in Afghanistan, you get a medal for it, and there's no like it's like a service medal or whatever. And he didn't get that, so there's no he can't come up with any reason to justify. Well, he did come up with a reason. I want to show this video. This is him describing why it's not in his records that not in his service records that he actually deployed.
In fact, the orders and the military records that I've been able to obtained from my personal files shows that all of my deployments are listed as classified. This was a strategic and strategically placed, excuse me.
All right. I think that's good, right?
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He's like, actually the reason is because it was even more cool and badass, really. But I wasn't allowed to tell you guys that, but that's actually what's going on. It's like special ops, Navy SEAL type shit. That's what it was, but I can't talk about that. So,
yeah, you guys seen Jason Bourne? Well, my real name is not even J.R. Majewski. It's I recovered my memories, turns out. He's got such a fucking dipshit. He also didn't receive a Global War on Terror Expeditionary Medal, which you get if you get that just for serving in direct service in the war on terror. So whatever his framework of his service was, wasn't really. He was like doing resupply stuff for like in a country that's not even adjacent.
Is this the guy? He was like a MAGA rapper. Also, he was a MAGA rapper who was at January 6th and a QAnon guy and all this stuff. So he checks a lot of the dipshit boxes, you know.
He's the one. He got Trump's attention by painting a giant Trump mural in his yard. We talked about him a while back. He basically mowed a giant Q into his lawn. You could see it from the air because he's a big QAnon guy. He now says he never supported Q, and though he's quoted directly on QAnon live streams being like, I love Q. I think Q is great, and everything he's saying is true. Also, the funny thing with this guy, every profession has mediocre people in it. That includes Air Force, comedy, whatever, right? So he, the striking thing when people look at his service record was he like only got one pay grade promotion in 4 years in his years of service, which is like not normal. I think he only made it to like E2, which is like the second lowest level of pay you can get. So they basically worked at McDonald's for 4 years and was still on the fries. And he got he exited his enlistment code is I'm quoting here from the AP. His enlistment code also indicated that he could not sign up for the Air Force again. So they didn't dishonorably discharge him, but they did say, you can't work here anymore, bud. And it really, what happened was he got in a big brawl in a barracks. And I don't know if he won or lost the fight, but that's all he did was fight with fellow Air Force guys. He got kicked out. But the result of all this, oh, we talked about Majewski last week, too, because he spoke at a Trump rally last week. And he's the guy that said the thing about we don't get goosebumps, we get eagle bumps.
That's one of his old bars. That's a line from one of his MAGA raps. He's got to find ways to use it still.
Yeah. So, but basically, after this happened, the House GOP campaign arm it's $1 million ad buy scheduled to help him. He's up against a rep, incumbent rep, Democrat by the name of Marcy Kaptur, Kaptur. Sorry if I'm saying that wrong. So they basically just washed their hands of him. And this is a district Trump won. So it should have been an easy pickup for Republicans, but he bumblefucked it away for them by stealing valor. So, yeah.
Yeah. Classic bumblefucking from these types. All right. Our next honorable mention, John Fetterman and Johnny Cash for being Crips. Evidently you guys didn't know that. It's true. That from Newt Gingrich. If you got that screen grab of that tweet, Matt. Yeah. It's a tweet from Newt Gingrich. Is Pennsylvania Democrat Fetterman's tattoo, "I will make you hurt," based on his ties to the Crips gang, as reported by the Free Beacon, or a reference to the Nine Inch Nails heroin song, "Hurt"? Fetterman won't answer questions. Probably not the Crips thing. I would assume, yeah. But you know, I'm not that up on Crip recruiting or anything like that. He doesn't nice seem like the type.
Yeah, it's nice to see like a racial the racialized 90s panic over gang members back. Hadn't heard about that in a while. Even in LA, where Crips and Bloods were a big part of, you know, the city culture, you don't even really see anybody worry about that anymore. But so the way they're going, so Fetterman had a pretty how insane Fetterman's making them is hilarious to me. Like, they're going all in on Oz, who sucks, because in their mind, Oz looks like a senator and he does, and Fetterman doesn't. And they're like, there was a big long speech. I forget who gave it the other day, but about how he doesn't wear. Oz did. We're going to get to it. Sorry. I got up early and I've been working all day, so I'm a little out of it. But they Fetterman, they asked him about his tattoos, and he apparently has a tattoo of the death date of every murder that happened in the town he was mayor while he was mayor. So, mm-hmm. Like, he turned his tattoo into a news story, and he's like, yeah, but these are cool tattoos.
Right.
These are my constituents who I failed because I feel bad about it. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess he's a good dude. Anyway, it's obviously a quote from the Nine Inch Nails / Johnny Cash song. But right. But I like the fact that he went to the Nine Inch Nails version. It is the original, but obviously the Johnny Cash version was a much
bigger hit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you said that, you know, he's like, yeah, but these are cool though. You know, like they say something about him. He's like, but that's cool. That seems to be a theme, I feel like, with them and Fetterman. For example, this next clip about his drug policy, I guess you would say. Here we go.
Yeah.
In his life, Sean, he hasn't worked a day as lieutenant governor. He put the marijuana flag up. He thought that was funny. He's trolling his opponent. He thinks that's funny. Here's what's not funny, that there's been a doubling of overdose deaths in Pennsylvania while he's been in office from 2015 to 2021. Fentanyl is rankling every corner of the state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wade flag, pretty cool, you know.
Yeah.
But also, like, the fucking linking weed to, you know, heroin or whatever immediately is also some 90s shit and before. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought we were past by now, but
all drugs are the same, Trey. If you take Tylenol, you're also contributing to the fentanyl overdose crisis. Do weed, don't do fentanyl. I think everybody's on the same page with that. But like, they're so thirsty, and listening to Dr. Oz talk about, they can't help, like, they make him, everything they think sucks about him is all the cool things about him.
Right. Exactly. They do it all the time, but yeah, play that Dr. Oz podcast clip, Matt. Oh, here it comes.
I want to push back on the costume a little bit, because it's an interesting phenomenon. I was stunned by it as well. But it turns out that if you're a far left radical with the belief that this country is irredeemably stained, you just want to break it apart. Just bust America, crack it to its base, break it asunder, and rebuild it with your toxic ideology. That's what he stands for. Mm. When he dresses like that, it's not an accident. He's kicking authority in the balls.
Yeah.
He said, hey, I'm the man. I'll show those guys who's boss. I'm going to not allow any traditional path to succeed, because by breaking some parts of it down, I can break it all down. That's the deeper message he's delivering.
Yeah.
Hell so, yeah.
Is he just cutting campaign ads for John Fetterman at this point? John Fetterman's going to kick authority in the balls. Like, yeah, it sounds like that. First of all, it reminds me of that. Remember that famous Kid Rock tweet when he's like peeking around a doorway, flipping his middle finger, and goes, the text is just, hey, authority. It's like, oh, yeah, it's fucking.
Show them. Yeah. But now, there it is. Now there it is.
He's like, Kid Rock thought that looked cool, which it doesn't, Dr. Oz is making John Fetterman look cool. Fetterman, almost immediately, through his Twitter troll persona, had adopted it as his campaign slogan and made essentially a campaign poster. It says, Fetterman, kicking authority in the ball.
Dude, he just, the way he's handled social media and just all this shit throughout the whole thing has just been a masterclass as far as I'm concerned, man. He brings the noise on there.
It is wild to me, like the fentanyl like panic. Fentanyl sucks, and we got to do a lot of stuff to try to save more people's lives, including making them less sad in this society as they turn to drugs in the first place. But like, none of these people seem to actually know what fentanyl is,
right?
To a degree, like this next one is a good example of it. I guess this dumbass here is your stupid kids for not using test strips on the heroin you bought them. So here we go. No, that's so wrong.
No.
Skipped
one. Hang on. He's finding it. Yeah, right there.
There you go.
We got it coming. It's okay, everybody. Everybody calm down. It's all right. Stop clamoring. It's going to be fine. I'm just trying to fill dead air. That's all I'm doing. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. Here we go.
Yeah.
Hold the law. We will secure our borders so your kids won't have to fear wondering that they're buying fentanyl and are going to OD. We will make.
So it's like, he's like, well, listen, kids are going to do drugs and that's cool. We just got to, you know, we just got to make sure that there's no fentanyl in it. And it's like, this is like a odd take for Kevin McCarthy to have, but I guess the focus for him is on the Mexicans bringing all the drugs up here is where he's
for sure.
That's where he's focusing the ire.
If he's talking about doing harm reduction, we need to make doing drugs safe so people can get motivated to get off them, sure. But like the argument he's making is like these dirty brown people are making it unsafe for your sweet little 12-year-old boy, Tyler, to do cocaine.
Right.
Like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, for the record, 90% of the drugs that come in through Mexico are driven in through legal points of entry. They're just hidden inside legal products. Like if you've seen Breaking Bad when they bring it in cans of stuff for the chicken restaurant, that's closer to reality than whatever Kevin McCarthy's talking about. And also, the majority of fentanyl is smuggled into America comes from China in the mail. All right. So nothing they're talking about the border has any relation to fentanyl drug overdose deaths. These people are just fear-mongering about migrants, and fuck them. If a migrant had access to millions of dollars in fentanyl, why are they sneaking in asking for asylum?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It's almost like none of it makes any fucking sense, you know? All right. Our final honorable mention is going to be an update you've all been waiting for, but the honorable mention is everybody else in the world for being less mentally healthy than this dude in Ohio, evidently. Matt, you got that clip. This is Brandon Shea, a member of the Ohio State Board of Education, who had this to say about everybody's new favorite completely made up panic that's sweeping right by storm. Yep, here we go. This just will not go away.
Yeah. We are witnessing perhaps the greatest collapse in mental health in the history of the world. We've literally got kids who think they're cats and dogs using litter boxes in classrooms.
Still.
And yet some of the same people who have had the most influence in these areas for many years tell us that only they have the wisdom. Only they have the solutions to the complex.
It's so wild how they latch on to these things every now and then. It's like it doesn't matter how often they get debunked or whatever else. It's just like, I don't know. There's just certain things that just like get in their head. And they just run with it. They love it. As soon as somebody on this side hears this, I guess because this, it's like what wokeness is doing to our youth or whatever is the reason that this is like such a thing that sticks with them, despite how fucking ridiculous it clearly is. But yeah, man.
He was making this case, introducing the made-up furry thing we've talked about a bunch as a reason for his resolution opposing protections for LGBTQ and trans students via Title IX. He's on the State Board of Education, even though, according to his own bio, he homeschools his fucking children. By the way, if this guy's kids are watching, go read a real book, because he's not telling you shit about anything. But it's not just this fucking guy. This happened again this week. The Republican nominee for governor in Colorado. Here's a headline. Her name's Ganahl. Ganahl falsely claims that kids are identifying as cats all over Colorado and schools are tolerating it. So this, no one knows any, this isn't happening. So no one's seen it or knows anyone who's personally seen it. It's a game of telephone on Facebook, and they've completely made it up out of thin air, and they're fucking running on it. It's absolutely insane. Let me quote from her real quick. Not many people know that we have furries in Colorado schools, she said on a radio show. Have you heard about this story? Yeah, kids identifying as cats. It sounds absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, I agree with you, lady. It does. But it's happening all over Colorado, and schools are tolerating it. It's insane. What on earth are we doing? Knock it off, schools. Put your foot down. Like, stop it. Let's get back to teaching basics and not allow this woke ideology. It is happening here in Colorado. It's why I moved from Boulder Valley to Douglas County, because it was happening in my kids' schools 4 years ago. She's lying about the reason she moved towns. She's implanted a false memory in herself of kids dressing up as cats. And I also saw today this pollster did a focus group with Trump 2016 and Biden 2020 voters about the things they were most concerned with. And multiple people brought this up as one of their top concerns.
Right. First of all, why would this be one of your top concerns in the world we currently live in? You know what I mean? But obviously, secondly, they clearly, it was not a thing. It's only recently become a thing. But yeah, I wonder that all the time with them about how, like, because in my head, I hear it and I'm like, this person has to know that they're lying and it just doesn't faze them at all. But it's like you said, it's very possible with a lot of them that somehow they do believe it. Sometimes a lot of the shit that they say, it's like they, like you said, falsify it in their own head or they have a false memory or something, but it is true to them, even though it's shit that never happened. And it's just fucking, it's wild. The shit is wild.
It's the Salem witch trials, man. It's just a moral panic. It's gone wide through social media. But the thing about this is like part of the, you got to remember that they think kids or schools are giving kids who identify as furries, which identifying as a furry isn't a thing we talked about before, litter boxes. So they can like shit and poop in schools in litter boxes.
Shitting and pooping?
I was at work earlier, I was like, do you guys know this is happening? Because we live in such bifurcated realities that like all my coworkers had no idea what I was talking about. They essentially thought I was making it up while I was telling them, and they were laughing and talking about it. But like reality is indecipherable to you if you don't know this is going on. For example, this is a tweet today from Matt Schlapp, who's the chairman of CPAC. And you wouldn't understand what this is indecipherable if you don't know this is going on. If you have the screen grab, Matt, right here. Yeah, so he's quote tweeting a thing about Mayor Eric Adams, who's saying that Kansas doesn't have a brand, which Eric Adams is his own kind of idiot. But he goes, we go in toilets and we believe in God. We believe God creates boys and girls. So we go in toilets. He's dunking on him by talking about the fucking kids
pooping
in litter boxes thing.
Yeah, well, in Kansas, we use the potty, okay? So now what? We go potty in Kansas, Mr. Big Mayor.
But like, what does that mean? If your brain isn't ruined like me, where you know about the furry thing, what does this look like to a normal person?
It's insane, man.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, let's talk about the January 6th committee. What do you say? It's coming back, sort of. Right. It was supposed to be tomorrow. Right? But they've pushed it back because of the aforementioned hurricane. Have they rescheduled it, or they just pushed it back like indefinitely?
No date yet. I'm assuming it'll be depending on how bad Ian is. Because it's like you don't be doing this sort of. I think it's good political theater to be doing, and it's important to understand exactly what happened. But it would look bad doing political theater while real people's houses are getting destroyed.
I mean, I think it was the right choice.
It also would suck up a lot of the media coverage, and the point of this is to get people to hear about it. So I get why you push it back, because it would look bad and be less effective. So I get why, but the sketch, it's not really. So you got to read the tea leaves with this stuff, right? So they haven't announced what the topic of this hearing is going to be, but they will tell reporters on background. So when you read this story, you can sort of make assumptions about what the hearing is going to be about. Like this story right here from CNN says, understanding Trump's intentions for going to the Capitol on January 6th will provide insight into his state of mind that day and expose more potentially criminal activity. So they've established they want to go to the Capitol, but they haven't talked about why yet, what he was hoping to do or hoping to accomplish. So I'm assuming that will be worked out or at least alluded to in these hearings. So a lot of anonymous stuff's been leaking out of this story. Yeah, somebody leaked a bunch of Mark Meadows texts. And this is pretty interesting. Meadows was texting directly with the guy who was running the legal efforts to try to seize voting machines. Which Meadows turned over his texts. Maybe he'll regret that later for not fighting it, because other people have had more success then. The guy he was texting with, this is mostly focused to Atlanta and Georgia, and it's pretty funny because the guy's basically sending live updates about all their terrible legal cases failing, and he's like, fuck, bullshit, this sucks. So the guy he's texting with, he was coordinating, and like, these guys are skating by because they're pretending there wasn't coordination, right? So that's what these things are revealing, is that these actually were essentially coordinated, and the people at the top were running it.
Yeah, they're like, we had nothing to do with it. It's all just shit that happened. It was, you know, rogue actors out there doing it on their own. It had nothing to do with us, but they were, you know, texting with them back and forth the whole time.
The guy Meadows is texting, his name is Phil Waldron. He's a former Army intelligence guy. We'll get to that in a little bit because it's an important part of the story. So he was running both efforts, or coordinating between the two efforts in Georgia and Arizona. Like I said, he's a retired Army colonel. He worked with Mike Flynn, who's a special kind of lunatic. He sent Meadows a PowerPoint presentation outlining a plan for overturning the election, which was later used to brief Republican lawmakers. And it was titled, in part, quote, Options for 6th January. That's foreshadowing. He also helped draft language for an executive order directing the Pentagon and Department of Homeland Security to seize voting machines on behalf of the White House. Trump never actually signed that order because his lawyers told him it could be a big no-no and get you in trouble. So he didn't actually sign it. But, like, it was drafted and it was in his inbox. He was in like psychological warfare in the Army, and he got obsessed with foreign election hacking. Like that was a huge structural weakness in America's infrastructure. And so when Trump started lying about this stuff, it really tickled his sweet spot.
Right.
Paranoid delusion he already had. But he left the Army a while back, and you're wondering what he's been doing since then. He runs a bar and distillery in Dripping Springs, Texas. And this was funny to me because I was like, what is this about? So, the brewery is called One Shot, and here's how it pitches itself. Retired U.S. Army Colonel Phil Waldron, a veteran with 30 years of service, wanted to find a way to blend his passion of supporting fellow veterans and first responders with world-class spirits and beers. He assembled a tactical team of individuals that shared his passions and had proven experience to complete his mission. So they're doing tactical liquor, Trey.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to figure out, how is he helping veterans? Is he donating like some of the proceeds? No, he just honors them by naming stuff after them, and literally markets itself as like, this is the liquor you pour out for your dead homies. That's literally what they,
Jesus, man.
What's his market as? And it's like the I'm looking at the website right now. One Shot Vodka is called Match Grade Vodka, and they rate all their liquors with caliber designations. And this was. The Match Grade Vodka is 5.56 millimeter, which is the mainstay of fighting forces around the world. It's light, extremely accurate, and always on target. So this is the most accurate vodka you can get. It goes straight in your bloodstream. all the liquors are like this. This is just the dumbest fucking thing. Anyway, this guy almost overthrew the government between poorly naming liquors. Criminal prosecutors in Georgia are trying to get both Waldron and Meadows to testify. Walden's been engaged in a month-long legal fight with the January 6th committee, which has subpoenaed his cell phone data, but he's smarter than Meadows, so he's at least trying not to turn it over. Somebody in the committee also leaked this sort of best of Roger Stone montage. Now, Roger Stone had a documentary crew. I'm not sure if he hired them or just cooperated with them.
Right.
Following him around during all this is where they got all this footage. So if we have it, Matt, you can play it right here.
It's of Roger Stone. This one is on from November 2nd of 2020 on his way home from a Doug Collins rally. This was in Georgia. Let's watch it.
Excellent. the violence. Let's get right to the violence.
Let's get right to it.
Shoot to kill. See an Antifa? Shoot to kill. Come. Done with this bullshit.
This other clip shows Roger Stone imploring the people in his orbit how important it is to claim Trump's victory, no matter what, on election night. Here it is.
Awesome. Let's just hope we're celebrating. Oh, yeah. I really do suspect it'll still be up in the air. But when that happens, the key thing to do is to claim victory. Possession is 9/10 of the law. No, we won. F*** you. Sorry, over. We won. Yeah. You're wrong. F*** you.
ABC.
That was even before a winner was even decided in the 2020 election. I've been seen before, and it shows Roger Stone. This is on July 9th, 2020. This was recorded by Stone's assistant during COVID.
Oh, yeah. This one's wild.
What they're assuming is the election will be normal. The election will not be normal. Oh, these are the California results? Sorry, we're not accepting them. We're challenging them in court. If the electors show up at the Electoral College, armed guards will throw them out. I'm the president. You. You're not stealing Florida. You're not stealing Ohio. I'm challenging all of it. And the judges we're going to are judges I appointed. You. You're not stealing the election. That's basically what Bush did to Gore.
So he's not wrong. Ballots.
We'll have an investigation. We'll say these ballots are fake. Yep. Your results are invalidated. Goodbye. That's the way it's going to have to work.
Wow.
It's going to be really nasty.
Wow.
And at the very end of that, he's like, this is what we got to do because they cheat. You know, we don't cheat. It's like the whole thing is about how, like, we're explicitly about how we're going to rig this election to keep them from cheating. And we're going to do that by ripping up ballots and throwing them out and running away electors, at gunpoint and all that shit. Because so it's like we got to out cheat them because they're going to cheat us. But we never cheat. And the whole thing is just fucking insane. Is he like the sorriest one of them all, Roger Stone, or most evil or whatever? Is it him or Bannon or who you think? Because he's got to be up there because he's pretty he's like mustache twirling level villain with this shit.
I would say I put him in different categories because he's Bannon at least believes in stuff. Roger Stone is just a full-on fucking power-mad grifter. So he's more venal, I guess is how I'd put it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure who's worse. He's definitely less damaging than Steve Bannon.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things. It's like comparing Trump and George W.'s presidency. Trump was a much dumber, more evil guy, but George W. definitely killed more people. So I don't I don't know how to rank him out. By the way, Stone's defense against all this footage is that they're all deep fakes. So, yeah. If deepfakes have gotten this good, sign me up, buddy.
I don't, like you said before we even showed the clip, like, it's not like you were unaware you were on tape or being filmed. You had a camera crew following you around. You didn't think anyone was ever going to see that? If you did think that, why did you let them be there in the first place? Like, he was just so convinced that he would never be in this position, i.e. that they would be unsuccessful in their efforts or anything like that. And if they had been successful, he'd be lauded as a hero. And this would be like a victory lap documentary for him or something. But it went the other way. So now he's got to claim it was all fake or some shit. I don't know.
Yeah. I imagine his defense, if he goes to trial, would be like, I'm just an entertainer, man. I'm just joking around. I'll put on a show for the cameras. You know, free speech. Yada, yada, yada. But anyway, I hope it doesn't work. Because the guy's fucking a dangerous psychopath. And I was thinking about it. I think I talked about the show before. I met him once at Politicon. And I was trying to think, like,
what year was that?
It would have been like, I don't know, 2015, 2014.
Could it have been 20? So not 2016 or 2017. I didn't even know it, but I literally physically bumped into him at Politicon when I was there. And I was going to ask if you were at the same Politicon and how I didn't know that, if so. But yeah,
he was there all the time.
But yeah, Corey told me afterwards that I was like talking to somebody else or something, and I like bumped Roger Stone without realizing it, and he looked at me and made like a ooh trash face and walked off. So that's the extent of my experience.
Yeah, he's a sad, weird little troll, man. He looks way weirder in person than he does on camera, and I was trying to think of the most famous person I've ever met, and he's definitely got to be in the top 20, I think. But like, if he gets up going to prison for treason or something, he'll rock it up the list. So do it for me, Roger. So all that stuff that's been leaked was leaked anonymously, but let's get to her not anonymous leak, because this guy's the funniest one of all for reasons we're going to get to that involve Bigfoot and dicks and grifting. But anyway, this is Denver Riggleman. We're going to talk about in a second in 60 minutes.
Did it hit you at one point that this is way bigger than it appeared in the beginning?
Absolutely. You get a real aha moment when you see that the White House switchboard had connected to a rioter's phone while it's happening. That's a pretty big aha moment. You get an aha
moment. Wait a minute. Someone in the White House was calling one of the rioters while the riot was going on?
On January 6th. Absolutely.
And you know who both ends of that call?
I only know one end of that call. I don't know the White House end, which I believe is more important. But the thing is, the American people need to know that there are link connections that need to be explored more.
As senior technical advisor for the January 6th committee, Denver Riggleman, a former House Republican and ex-military intelligence officer, ran a data-driven operation pursuing phone records and other digital clues tied to the attack on the Capitol.
From my perspective, you know, being in counterterrorism, you know, if the White House, even if it's a short call and it's a connected call, who is actually making that phone call?
Is there a simple, innocent explanation for that?
Was it an accidental call from the White House that just happened to call numbers that somebody misdialed a rioter that day on January 6th? Probably not.
All right. So a few biographical details about here, because we just talked about Waldron, who is a former Army intelligence guy who owns a brewery. Denver Riggleman is a former Air Force intelligence guy who owns a brewery. So we got a real diverse interest in representing in Congress. So broad strokes of Riggleman's career. He served one term in Congress. We've talked about him before. You might not remember. He ran and won in 2018 after somebody decided not to run again after some allegations they were a horrible boss and ran a terrible workplace. As a safe Republican district, he got primaried in 2020 because he made the mistake of officiating a gay wedding. And so that was unacceptable to Republican primary voters. And the main thing people knew when he was running in 2018, his opponent pointed out and made it the main subject of her election campaign that he is a big enthusiast and devotee of Bigfoot erotica.
Yeah. Well, sure. He probably got a big old, yeah, there it is. You know, Bigfoot got a hammer, dog. He's got to. Maybe he's just a size queen type of guy. I don't know. But in hair, like size and hair. Now he's just a big Bigfoot dude, right?
Yeah.
He loves Bigfoot.
His first book about Bigfoot came out in 2006. It was called Bigfoot Exterminators, Inc., the partially cautionary, mostly true tale of Monster Hunt. But it's about people who look for Bigfoot. And later is when he got horny about it and started drawing pictures and posting them to his social media accounts of sexy Bigfoot with a big hard cock. It's very funny.
It's funny to think. It's like, because he wrote these Bigfoot books, you know, but they're non-erotic. It'd be fun if his editor, you know, was like, yeah, I'm liking the manuscript so far, but what's this part with the, you know, the threesome with Bigfoot and two campers and you know, in the middle of the book? I think maybe we need to cut that out. And he's like, you sure about that? That's my favorite part. He's getting Bigfoot porn edited out of his works and stuff.
Yeah, there's one of his drawings. I guess he's not a bad drawing, but that's from his personal Instagram, which he shut down after someone dug these up.
That's such a wild thought. Like, he said, putting that on your own Instagram willingly and like without thinking, like, I'm gonna have to delete this in shame one day. This picture of Bigfoot's rock hard abs and
yeah,
like, oh my god, man.
Yeah, so his explanation for all this was some sort of joke his military buddies played on him, but he wouldn't explain what the joke was or how the joke worked, which we all have running jokes with friends about the incomprehensible lore that doesn't make sense to anyone outside of our friend group. So maybe it's somewhat true, but whatever the joke was, it involved the existence of a Facebook author page for a new book he was writing titled The Mating Habits of Bigfoot and Why Women Want Him, which I assume this artwork was for. By the way, the woman who was running against, who brought all this stuff to light, her name is Leslie Cockburn, who happens to be the mother of actor and director Olivia Wilde, who's been in the news a lot lately for their new movie, Don't Worry, Darling. While Rigelman was in Congress, he didn't really do much. He just tried to not get primaried. And again,
top-notch job then. That's the whole job, man, not doing much.
And the guy he lost the primary to is a shithead named Bob Good, who was the athletics director for Liberty University, which means he hired the coach who oversaw the Baylor sexual assault scandal after they were fired from Baylor. All these people are clowns that suck. Getting back to Rigelman. So what he did here, he's on 60 Minutes promoting his book. This is a book he wasn't supposed to be writing. He signed all sorts of confidentiality agreements and stuff to work on the January 6th committee. Because what he did was, after he lost his election, he got hired as a senior staffer to the United States House Select Committee on January 6th. He quit that job in April of this year. All about all this stuff that's coming out after he gave an interview in June, former CIA Inspector General, who's now the staff director for the January 6th committee, said in an email to staff, "I want you to know that I'm deeply disappointed in his decision to discuss the select committee's work on television in direct contravention of his employment agreement." So yeah, the committee does not want him to be saying all this shit. I have no idea. Maybe he'll push them to do a better job, or maybe he's blowing their fucking wad. I don't know. He had been rumors about this book deal while he was still working there, and they confronted him over the rumors of his book. And he told him he was writing a book on a topic unrelated to his committee work. Maybe a third in his Bigfoot trilogy about Bigfoot being pregnant. I have no idea. In a later conversation before his departure from the committee staff, Rigelman had said he has been approached about writing a book related to the committee, but that it would not be published before the end of the year. So what he did complain about what the book was about, he lied about when it was coming out. So, total weirdo, don't know how much to trust him. But also, the White House switchboard thing is funny because he's saying, like, you can't have an unintentional call from the White House switchboard. Yeah, you can't butt dial from the White House switchboard. That's not
right. Yeah.
But also, he said that a bunch of people, several people in the crowd with their cell phones, sent text messages to the White House switchboard, which a switchboard also cannot receive text messages. These people are so fucking dumb. All of them. Our country was almost overthrown by the stupidest people here, including members of Congress who were all obsessed with Bigfoot. And Congress is basically where we house our craziest people. And they've gotten too crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a goddamn shame. But all right. Let's Matt, get us some questions and comments and stuff. And while Matt's looking for some, I'm just wondering, Mark, what you think, what's your like prediction for the end of January 6th committee as it comes to a close?
Well, they're starting their final run of hearings. I don't know if they know how many hearings they're going to have, because they've already had more than they planned on, as they keep uncovering more shit they want to talk about and tell the public about. So I imagine they will try to do this at regular intervals up to somewhere closer to the election.
Because
it's good politics to remind people that the Republican Party is significantly made up of psychopaths who want to kill us all. My main prediction is they'll drag it out as long as possible.
Yeah, I don't blame them. Oh, thank you, Matt. Like and subscribe, everybody. Share, tell your friends, leave a 5-star review. Do all the internet stuff. We would appreciate it. It makes sense to stretch it out up at the election as much as I can. Mike on YouTube says, "How about them Cowboys? Have we talked about you being a Cowboys fan before? Do people know that?"
I think I probably wore a Cowboys hat in the pride. Don't hate me for it. I do have a geographical connection. I lived in Texas for a long time, so it's like I'm not just some fair weather fan. I did actually become a fan of theirs till after they already sucked for years and years, so I didn't even get to enjoy any of the success in the 70s, 80s, and 90s that led to people thinking all Cowboys fans are front runners. I merely joined the sad sack bandwagon after it was full of horse shit on the way to the dump. So
Amanda W. Yeah. says, saw Trey live in Arkansas and he was hilarious. Go get tickets. Well, thank you very much. That was Lowell, Arkansas, the Grove. I've never had a bad time in Northwest Arkansas, and I'm not saying that. Also, I've been to Northwest Arkansas to do stand-up, I'm pretty sure, more than I've been anywhere else other than, like, the places that I've lived before. So, yeah, it was a good weekend. Thanks for everybody coming out.
I did the Looney Bin in Little Rock a couple times. It was a fun town. You saw the blimp. Did you tell the people you saw the Goodyear blimp?
Yeah, I saw the Goodyear blimp over Lowell, Arkansas, over Fayetteville. Yeah.
It prompted a fun text conversation because he sent the picture, like, I wonder where it's going. And we're joking about it. Drew was like, it'd be funny to be late for work in a blimp. And me being a fact checking nerd looked up where he was supposed to be. And he was supposed to be during the Ohio State game in Ohio. And he had 4.5 hours to get from Northwest Arkansas to Ohio. So he was running late to work in a blimp.
Sue Miller says, be a subscriber. Best $5 a month I spend. Well, that's very sweet of you to say. Yes, that's on Patreon. Thank she's you, talking Sue. About. Matt, getting all the plugs in there organically, using comments to replug the plugs. Look at producer Matt being a pro. How about that? Eric J. Loffenberg says, I saw Trey in Kansas City, and he was great. I love this, Matt, but you don't have to keep doing this. It's okay. Thank you all very much for that. Y'all going to give me the vapors. Ellen Castile says, now Matt's plugging himself. Matt's on fire. Ellen Castile says... That poll about abortion is good news. Hopefully it will make a difference in November. No, yeah, it is good news. Matt does good stuff, guys. Ruralorganizing.org. Check them out.
It's good news that people have sane beliefs about a very important issue to women's health. It's not good news they're in this position, but I do hope in this context, I hope going – forget all their fuck-ups in the past. I hope this helped the Democrats hold office going forward so they can fix it.
Debbie Lynn Robinson says Matt's killing it. Yes, he is. And I've been meaning to tell you, Matt, since you're back there listening, I've gotten some Patreon comments and messages and stuff from people that indicate that you've got a sort of Maris from Frasier, or like who's another famous character from fiction, Mark, that you never see, you hear about all the time, but you never see, like Niles' old wife, you know?
Norm's wife on Cheers.
Yeah, like that. Producer Matt's one of those to some people. He's a man of mystery. They find him intriguing. What's he hiding? What's going on back there? The world may never know. We've asked him to do stuff before, like on camera, be on the show. He won't do it. So you guys are SOL. You have to keep wondering what kind of guy he is.
I forget the name of the guy on Home Improvement who peeked over the
Wilson,
fence.
Right?
Wilson, yeah. You don't get that much from Matt.
No. I think it's not even the top part of his head.
I like to think of him as Kaiser Sose.
Yeah, there you go.
Quietly running shit in the background. No one even knows who he looked like. Matt's a quiet, shy guy with the voice of an angel.
That's true.
Yeah.
Great hair. Tremendous hair.
Good hair.
And a big heart. You're making him so uncomfortable right now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. Well, you got any more for us, Matt? Come on.
Before we go, this is a fun story from yesterday. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton fled his home to avoid being served a subpoena. This process server knocked on his door, and his wife said he was too busy to come to the door, so the guy hung out of the driveway, and then she pulled the fucking car around. He basically hopped in the back of the car, and they sped off. This process server chased him. If you don't familiar with Ken Paxton, he's been under indictment for securities fraud since 2015, and also accused by a bunch of people in his own office for taking bribes and firing them for whistleblowing. So it just really hits for me that the head law enforcement official in the state of Texas is an abject fucking criminal who runs from process servers. So anyway,
yeah, I look forward to his Senate campaign or whatever in the future.
Yeah,
he's going to be moving on up. All right. So, even though Matt kind of helped us do it again already, I still will take this opportunity to remind everybody, treycrowder.com to get some tickets. Come and see me. And again, we're going to be adding new dates to that. We'll be in Oklahoma City Sunday, Raleigh, North Carolina next weekend. Got some California dates coming up after that. Homecoming Christmas shows like we do every year at Zany's in Nashville. Those are always a blast. And also, go to weeklyskews.com/more or go on Patreon, search for me, sign up in the Skews tier, $5 a month. You get full-length bonus episodes. We're going to do another one later this week. And as always, do like, smash that like button, hit subscribe, do all the smashing, sharing, all that good stuff. We've I don't know how long we've been doing this now, but it's been a little while, and you guys have been hanging around, and we appreciate it. And yeah, love yous, and we'll see you next week. Bye.